find that Volunteer Fire Company began in 1830 under Captain Charles Parkman. Now, this was not recognized by the town. It was purely volunteers made up of the old militia company or military company that had gone on before. The first bylaws of 1830 mentioned that there was a fire engine company number one, and that they would meet the first Saturday of every month at the engine house, and an annual meeting would be held in May. By the vote of the majority, they would pick a captain of the fire company and a clerk for 1 year. According to the articles, any member who shall be absent at roll call or at any company meeting shall forfeit and pay 25 cents. Any member who will be absent at any of the company meetings shall forfeit and pay 50 cents. And any member of the fire company who shall leave the engine when taken out at any of the company meetings or at any alarm of fire shall at any time neglect or refuse to obey the orders of the commanding officer, that person shall forfeit and pay for every instant of neglect or disobedience $1 for the use of said company. Further article mentioned, quote, every member, upon the knowledge of any alarm of fire, shall without delay repair to the engine wherever it may be, and assist in removing it to the fire, and in returning it to the house, and shall do the duties incumbent on him as a member of this company, upon default of which he shall pay $1 for the use of said company. The first fire company captain was Captain Charles Parkman. Later on, in 1838, a tub or hand tub was purchased for $486. This hand tub served the town for 10 years. Basically, it was a hand pump that was a wooden tub, a large wooden tub, and it was pumped by men by hand who cranked the pump up and down and therefore released the water through the hoses. The water itself was put in the tub by buckets, or eventually by a suction hose that was either attached to hydrants, or before the hydrants actually came, there were reservoirs or water holes dug around the town, small water holes, that by suction would bring the water up into the tub, and then the men by hand would pump it out and put out the fire. There was also, in 1843, the report of the selectmen, which mentioned that the department was then under 9 engineers and 35 engine men. The apparatus consisted of one engine, 24 feet of suction hose, 123 feet of leveling hose, one hose carriage, and that was a hand cart, really, a large reel that the men pulled along by hand. They had 4 buckets, 2 axes, and a signal lantern, 1 torch, 3 ladders, a large tub for the reservoir of water, 1 sled to carry the engine in the winter, and 6 oilcloth dressers for the hose men. So that this was after 1842, when the state legislature in Massachusetts established a fire department with engineers, 3 engineers in Westboro. The chief engineer at that point was appointed Jonas Longley. In 1850, the town bought a new hand tub called the Chauncey for $946. This new engine arrived at the fire station, and they all turned out to see if it worked to the satisfaction of the board. They were very, very pleased, and they unanimously passed to buy the new engine and put it into the house. Now, in 1868, it was a very important fire in town, in which the Parkman store on West Main Street, the west side of West Main Street, next to the Memorial Cemetery now, that particular block, burned to the ground. And the town was very upset by the fact that the village was threatened like this. And they purchased their first steamer, called the Joshua Jackson, after the chief engineer. At this time also, 12 brick and concrete reservoirs, small reservoirs, were constructed around the town. these reservoirs were dug out, and they just were kind of catch basins that were used to suction out the water into the hoses once the steamer had been hooked up. The steamer was used by actually building a wood fire in the steam engine as it left, or just before it left the firehouse. And by the time it got to the fire, it had built enough steam to activate the engine and therefore the pump. But it did not carry any water itself. That worked only from the suction hose from these little reservoirs around town or from brooks that it might be hooked into. The black smoke that you would see pouring out of the steamer was caused by the fire that was building up steam pressure in the steam pumper. That would allow the spraying out of the water. Later on, after another fire, it was decided that the town should have a water system and a hydrant system. And in 1879, the Sandra Reservoir was built. With this came gravity-fed water from Sandra Pond out on Upton Road to the center of town. Pipes were laid and 75 hydrants were installed. And this really did change the look of the fire department and their capability. And the town felt pretty safe for quite a long time with this new water system. In 1886, the first fire alarm box, electric fire alarm box, was placed in the center of town.
And in 1888, the new fire station was finally built on the corner of Grove Street and Milk Street. The firehouse had four big rooms upstairs for each of the four fire companies.
Built. I have pictures of them, and so it wasn't that long ago when they built the 10th Mass Electric.
Mm-hmm. You think it was in the 60s?
Yeah, it was in the 60s.
And that added to the high pressure
right.
system. So the high pressure system, does that extend only around downtown, basically?
No, not anything, any new areas that have been built or developed since the high pressure system was installed.
That's what
is high pressure now. The red system, the low pressure, is gradually being phased out.
Is it different pipes, or is it?
Oh yeah, it's different pipes. And that's why you'll see a red hydrant and a yellow hydrant, like on West Main Street, within 100 feet of each other. One's in the low pressure system, one's in the high pressure system.
And the high pressure would have larger diameter?
It's got a much bigger water main. Plus it comes directly off the tanks. Mm-hmm. And the low pressure system comes off the wells, and they can only pump so much water.
Okay. So even
if we've got a big water main, there's only so much water that the wells can pump out to feed the fire truck
in the first place.
All right, getting back, way back. The first fire alarm box, supposedly, was in 1886. And I think it was electric that even then. And then a hook and ladder was bought in 1887.
I have a picture of the first hook and ladder outside in front of the station here.
And these were all horse-drawn?
Still, the horse-drawn.
No, that's an actual big picture.
And a hook and ladder basically is just...
Well, it said hook and ladder. The hook and ladder meant the rescue part of it. The hook would be the part for, you know, pulling down ceilings and overhaul. The ladders would be the ladders on the truck,
mm-hmm.
where versus a pumper. And that's still basically the same tradition is today. You know, even in the big cities, a ladder company, they do the ladders and they rip open all the walls where the men on the pumpers go in and, you know, handle the lines and do the actual firefighting.
Okay. And we have three pumpers, is it?
We have three pumpers.
One hook and ladder, or?
We call it a ladder truck. And then we have a rescue truck.
Mm-hmm. And what the rescue truck is basically?
It's for, we use it mostly for vehicle accidents,
mm-hmm.
where we're cutting somebody out of a car. Or
like the jaws of life?
Right.
We use the jaws of life. All right, then, way back,
also, the fire station was built in 1888, but the first motorized truck, supposedly around 1914, is that?
Right.
And that what does that mean, motorized?
That was the first, I couldn't even get a picture of that. That's the one we have all the men's names of all of them in the picture. That was the first actual gas engine fire truck. And what that did, that had a, it was an open cab. Mm-hmm. I think it was a Maxim. That's in the town reports. I remember reading it. And it was had a tank of water, mm-hmm. and it had two chemical tanks. And they acted like a big soda acid extinguisher. They'd have all the acid mixed in one tank, and then have all the baking soda and the water in another tank, and they'd turn this great big wheel on the side of the truck, and that would mix the acid with the baking soda, and that would create the pressure, and that would shoot the water out of the truck. It didn't have a pump.
Oh, all right. It just was the chemical reaction between the
right.
acid and
that would push the water, and they'd have to carry spare charges on the truck because you could only use it once.
Oh.
They'd shoot out all the water, and then they'd fill up with water again, and then they'd put a new chemical charge in, and then they'd go through the whole routine again.
And that was called a Maxim?
That was a Maxim.
M-A-X-I-M, Maxim. And that was used quite a long time then, it seems. There was a... Then they bought a Maxim triple combination, whatever that is. That was in 1918, supposedly, after another fire. Well, there were big fires. Can you tell the Whitney House when that was?
That was 1907. And
that was the hotel?
Right, the Whitney Hotel, and the downstairs was they were all stores. And supposedly I've read that that was started from a kerosene lamp fixture in the ceiling of one of the rooms that exploded.
And what burned in that particular one? The entire hotel?
Yeah, that entire building, the entire hotel, and the all the stores.
Livery stable behind it, is that all right? What's that?
I couldn't tell you.
Anybody lose their life?
No, as far as I know, nobody got killed.
But that remained as a cellar hole. This is right on West Main Street beside the library for a long
until
time.
Until the 20s, until they built the Forbes School at the same site.
Then another big fire was the Straw Works.
1917 was the trunk and bag. The Straw Works and the Westboro Inn.
This is on East Main Street.
Yeah. Yeah, that was in the 40s.
But the one in 1917 was National Straw Works. Then beside it was a Westboro Inn or National.
The Staples House. Blocks.
Staples Block.
And then there was the Westboro Inn, and that all burned. Everything burned. The only thing that stopped it was the brand new, the post office was going in there then, where Bay State's Recreation Building is.
That's the Keating Building, no?
Keating Block, yeah.
Was that built before 1917?
That was built right at, but it was still standing. That's what stopped the fire, that brick building.
Oh. So the fire went right up to that point.
Right.
So it was from that point down toward the tracks that
right.
burned.
Everything from Union Street all the way down to the burned.
Oh, Union Street down. And all right, this 1917 fire ran from the brick Keating Building on East Main Street and burned. What? How do you see what it burned going up toward the town?
The Westboro Inn.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Staples Block. Which was the trunk and bag was in there, and then the Straw Works themselves.
And the fire then would go right up to Kim.
Well, I don't know what was on the
Union,
other between
anyway, Union.
Between Union Street and Brigham at that time.
But it might have gone up that far, but it must have been a huge fire.
Yes, it
particularly
was.
Particularly with a straw factory.
That's the fire that they brought in fire trucks from Worcester on. Railroad cars. Brought in the fire truck was on a railroad car.
And again, again, it seems that the factories had a lot of problems, a lot of fires.
Well, we just didn't have any water in the center of town. And there were predictions for years that there were water problems and water shortages.
And problems with the pressure, et cetera. And now, after 1917, Ed knew this Maxim triple combination. This 6 p.m. pumper was bought, or 500 6 p.m. pumper.
That's a GPM.
GPM.
That's a gallon per minute.
Oh, gallon, good, gallon per minute. So it was 500 gallons per minute pumper. And that was probably bought after this big fire.
Yes, that'd be the following year, yep.
But a Maxim triple, the same basic principle, perhaps, of the acid and soda?
No, that was actually a pumper. And that would be the first actual pump itself, where you had, the gas engine would also pump water. And 500 gallons a minute, that would give you a, that would mean that that truck could constantly pump 500 gallons a minute as long as there was a water supply. It didn't have to stop or put any chemical charges in.
That's a big improvement then.
Yes.
However, the only problem might be in actually getting the water supply.
Right.
And again, they were using the reservoir.
Right. That's what they were strictly using the reservoir then.
And there's another pumper bought in 1923, not the McDonald.
The McDonald, right.
So
the other one, this one was called...
1918, didn't
it? Okay, that one there, I believe, was called the Chauncey. Because you had the Chauncey and the McDonald.
The very first thing was called, the tub was called the Chauncey, mm-hmm. too, but they must have kept it going.
Yeah.
How was the fire department organized? One permanent fireman, or Ed Hogan was a
okay, that wasn't until about 1918.
Yeah. He was a full-time firefighter, right. And he worked 7 days a week, right. And he lived across the street?
That house right
door.
Over there.
Okay, right across Grove Street.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be on duty all the time. And then if there was a fire, he would sound the alarm?
Right.
And then what happened?
Pretty much what happens even to this day. The volunteer firemen would come in to the station and get their trucks and off they'd go.
And they do that now?
Right.
Do you know how many volunteers we have now?
Right now we have 25. We're going down as the town gets bigger, as the full-time department gets bigger. Eventually the full-time department will replace the volunteer fire department.
How many do we have on the full-time?
Yeah, 14 full-time right now.
Jumping back a little bit, after they bought the McDonald's, I guess it is, 1923, it said 1934, we ended a 20-town mutual aid pack and installed a fire alarm system at the fire station. And what would this fire alarm system be?
The fire alarm system that we have now is basically it's a more updated system because we have, because this town had a lot of factories, the fire alarm boxes, these factories that didn't have watchmen, would have fire alarm boxes. And the steam whistles at the factories used to blow for the firemen.
You mean if there was a fire or just if...
If there was a fire in town, four or five of the factories would blow their steam whistles. And that would alert the fireman, which is, again, pretty much the same as done today with the fire whistle. When the fire alarm system was put in here, all the boxes were connected into the fire station and blew the fire whistle here at the station.
All right. So you're saying before that happened, the boxes were connected to different factories?
Right. And one of them was Bartlett's. The
Bartlett box, yeah.
Used to blow a whistle there. And probably the straw works.
And the boxes themselves were all over town?
Right.
So that if there was a fire, somebody would pull the switch or whatever?
Yes, this was, you know, before there were, a lot of these boxes date back before there were telephones. That's how they would call a fireman.
Mm-hmm. Is that when it was saying in the 1880s is when they first started? Is that what they were talking about, these boxes were
right.
first put in?
We have a very old fire alarm system in this town. Compared to some towns that still don't have a municipal fire alarm system.
Any particular reason? Just the fact we did have a lot of factories and fires?
Probably. That's a big part of it. But this was a very progressive and a heavy industrialized town right at the turn of the century. A lot of manufacturing. And that had to have a big influence versus a farming community. So, this fire station, when it was built, was quite a spectacular building for a small town.
Oh. It was well equipped, you mean? And what?
Well, it was very impressive, compared to, the small towns that even you see today, where it's a little wooden building with two or three doors, mm-hmm. and that's about it. This was built a large station, except for the major renovations that were done in the 20s when the old wooden floors were taken out because they started to sag when they got rid of the horse-drawn equipment and put in the motorized fire trucks. They had to beef up the floors.
Were the horses kept here too? No, the horses were kept behind in livery stables?
The horses kept on Brigham Street. I don't know where on Brigham Street. I remember reading that's where some of the horses were kept. And then over down behind the Guaranteed Bank building or behind Forbes building over that way.
All right. And however, in the 20s, well, first it was a good-looking fire station, and the fire companies had rooms upstairs. Is that how it worked?
Well, before the fire department was reorganized with the Board of Engineers, is there a date in there for that?
Yeah, that was in the 1840s.
No. Well, after that, when they get rid of that, actually, they used to have individual companies. And I would suspect that's probably around 1918,
mm-hmm.
when they hired the first full-time man. You had different companies. You had the William Curtis Hose Company and the Jackson Steamer Company and the Rescue Hook and Ladder, and they would compete against each other, and which is still done in other parts of the country where it's strictly volunteer.
What do you mean they'd compete against each other? Each company would have a certain number of men that were
right.
only responsible for that particular
pass. For that particular
pass.
Truck. And they would see who could get to the fire station quickest, who would get their truck out the door fastest, which company would be the first one to get water on the fire. That kind of thing. And it led into, I remember reading reports of how they commandeered a trolley car going to a fire somewhere down East Main, down South Street. They commandeered a trolley car and they had a hand-drawn hose wagon behind them. As they were zipping down going to the fire, the wheel of the hose wagon got caught in the trolley track and ripped out of their hands and crashed and smashed all up and all the hose flew off and never got to the fire.
They lost the competition, totally. Now, there was a hand-drawn wagon. That's what these tubs were too, or not?
Some of them were hand-drawn. We still have one of the hand-drawn tubs down in the cellar.
That was the very first ones, though, the hand-drawn ones.
Well,
what about the horses, then? Or the Thayer tub, this first one, may have been run.
That could have, I would assume, they were very small. They were no bigger than the size of that desk at that time. Some even smaller. And they were just two men that ran them. The one much bigger ones, which came much more elaborate, they would take 30 men on either side of the pump to run them. It took 60 firemen just to run those.
Wow.
Richard Winnell has probably, from town, he's probably got one of the most famous hand tubs in the country.
Hmm.
One that was Curry and Ives did two or three different lithographs on it. And his takes, I think, about 40 people.
Now, do you know if Westboro had anything that big? I mean, when they're talking about this Chauncey hand tub in 1850,
no, because Westboro didn't have the manpower.
Yeah.
You have to have all the, when you're talking about 40 men just to run one truck. See, at one time, our fire department was over 100 men. We had,
Is that when it had the three companies, you mean, or?
Well, we had the Rescue Hook and Ladder, and we had the Jackson Steamer Company, and we had the William Curtis Hose, and, let's see, who else did we have?
There's three, the Hook and Ladder. Curtis Hose and the Jackson Steamer, and was there another one?
Brigham. Brigham Hose. Brigham.
There's two hose. And what, when they're talking about the hose, are they just have a hose truck that they're...
Right, it was a hose wagon. It was just...
Hose wagon?
They would just, it was like a great big spool. It would just carry hose and would have some nozzles on it. They would hook up to either a hydrant or hook up to one of the steamers and run that hose into the building. And they also carried other smaller hoses, which would go from the, let's say, from a hydrant or from a brook to the steamer.
And that, when did that stop, all that, the companies that...
I would suspect all of that stopped right around the 20s, once they got their first motorized piece of equipment.
But still it was volunteers basically running it, with Hogan being the full-time firefighter. Then in this 1934, the 20-town mutual aid pack and installed a fire alarm system here, and bought a new Maxim quad ladder truck in 1937. What's a quad ladder truck?
Well, that meant it would pump, and it had a ladder on it. And the quad part of it refers to just the type of pump, but it was a combination, and it would...
I mean, as far as it had ladders,
it had a ladder and a pump. A ladder truck now is strictly just a ladder.
Oh, all right. So they kind of reverted back to the...
Yeah, they don't make them... they found out that if it was a pump and you had to stick to the hydrant, then you couldn't use your ladder.
A big fire in March of 1947 when the hat shop on Phillips Street and the underwear factory on Milk Street burned.
It was a burning, and the streams of water would only reach as high as the second floor.
Because there wasn't enough pressure at the time, and supposedly also the pipes in Westboro were
very
old
small.
And corroded and small, and so that therefore it didn't matter how many fire trucks we had as far as getting the water on the fire.
We just didn't have the water.
We didn't have the water. So it kind of just burned and burned and burned. Although trucks came in from other towns and used their storage water tanks.
We have, I've got some spectacular photographs of that fire. I have two color movies of it. And some spectacular photographs that were taken by the telegrams. Some aerial photographs that were playing in the area.
Was that the last big fire, Phil, that Westboro's had?
Yes, I would say that was the last major.
After that, we got a water tank and a new pipe system, and that helped bring in the high pressure, and also the tank out on Gilmer Hill that helped bring up the high pressure.
Got us a little more flow, plus they started a real extensive project of renovating the water supply system.
And is that also when they began putting in more hydrants as well, or that came with more development?
Correct.
Okay. Then, 53 said they had a third permanent firefighter added, and the first full-time fire chief was appointed in 1968, Rocco Pollini.
Yeah.
Until then, they had these engineers. I didn't understand how the Board of Engineers worked. Were they appointed by the selectmen to oversee the volunteer group?
I believe so. That's something you'd have to check.
Because they had a chief engineer, for instance, all along, and three men that acted as engineers.
Right on the Board of Engineers, right.
But they
still a couple of them, you know, Pete Fay down the post office was on the Board of Engineers.
And that sounds like they were perhaps appointed and were the men that were answerable to the town government and the selectmen and the town meeting for what was happening at the fire station, although there wasn't a fire chief as such.
Right? No, because he was the... There are still some towns that use that type of operation, instead of having just one person, especially when you volunteer, where you don't expect, you can't have that chief to be there all the time, so the other people are trained. If one engineer is not there, the other engineer will be there.
Would the engineer actually then be a firefighter as well?
Oh, yes, they're all.
And so they would follow his orders, although each company often had their own foreman, but he would be under the engineer.
Board of Engineers, yeah.
But that must have switched over when we began having
one of the departments started changing from it. And there really is very few records on it. As far as when the individual companies were phased out. See, that's the way the station was built this way. Each one of the companies had their own room.
So there are four rooms, is it?
Four rooms, right.
And they supposedly furnished them pretty well themselves.
We still have all the original lithographs and prints and photographs in the attic that were donated to the firemen by all the different businesses and all the ones that the firemen used to buy there belong to the association, and someday we'll do something with them.
It goes into your museum. See what's happening now. 1969, an aerial ladder truck was built, was purchased, I mean.
Right. That replaced the old quad.
All right. 1969, and then more firefighters were added in 72, three more. Two bays were added on the station in 76. What happened there?
We started, the operation of the ambulance was transferred to the fire department. That time, we became responsible for running the ambulance. They had to build an addition to put a bay on for it. Before that, it was used to be kept down at a storage shed down at the highway department.
All right.
We used to get on the
phone. On South Street?
Yeah. We used to get on the phone and call the people on the phone and say, gee, someone's having a heart attack. Can you go get the ambulance? And you know, the guy would have to shovel out his house and go down to the DPW and unlock the doors. And
so the person driving the ambulance would be a DPW person?
Oh, no. They were usually police.
Police.
At that time it was run by the police department.
But it wasn't an easily accessible place to get to.
No.
So that happened in 1976.
In 1983, the front of the fire station had to be reconstructed.